Bezalel Shem Yisbach, we begin Perek Shneim Asa, the 12th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Nedarim, the Laws of Vows and the Seif HaFlah, where the Rambam here qualifies the halacha of neder as it applies to being nullified and the time limits regarding how long hafar could be. As Rambam begins halacha Aleph, first Rambam opens up regarding the differentiation between the father and the husband as it applies to nullifying the vow of the woman. Kol HaNedarim V'Hashvus, all the oaths and all the vows, even that which doesn't have inu nefesh, an affliction to the woman, and even if it's something that's not between the father and his daughter, regarding the father, he has carte blanche. Ha'av mefer begem shemim, the father can nullify in the day that he hears the vow of his daughter. Shemim says in the pasuk of Midbar, kol nedariha v'esareha, all her vows and all her prohibitions, the father has the ability to nullify. Avla baal, in contrast, the husband, eina yachal hafer, he cannot just nullify any vow, ela kol nedarim v'shvuos, only one of two types. All the vows and the oaths, sheyesh bem inu nefesh, either that it's bothersome to the woman, meaning to say it's something that, for example, let's say she takes neder, she's not going to eat today or drink today, something that's afflicting herself. Oh, yishem b'dvam shebeinu l'beinu, or it's something that's going to affect the relationship between the husband and the wife. K'kain shenishbo, like for example, she takes an oath, or inadro, she takes a vow, she'll tikkel, she's not going to put on makeup, or she'll discuss it, or she's not going to put on jewelry. Shemek says in the pasuk, "Bein ish le'ishta," whatever is in affects the intimacy between the relationship between the husband and the wife. Now, Alach Beis, the Rambam continues regarding to qualify these two types. What's a neder that's inu nefesh? Uma bein nedarim sheshbem inu nefesh. So, what's the difference between the vow that's bothersome to the woman, the dvarim shebeinu l'beinu, to that which affects the relationship? There's a difference in halacha. Shana nedarim sheshbem inu nefesh, because that which afflicts her, which that mefer alatzmai velachem, that it can nullify whether it applies to him or whether it applies to other people. I mean, even if the husband subsequently divorces her and she gets married to someone else, it's still nullified. But should be not that which he's able to nullify because it's between them and their affecting the relationship. Laatzmai mefer, that he can only nullify for himself, velachem in a mefer, but he cannot nullify it in regards to others. As Rambam says, Allah give him a ketzer, how so? So nadrush lechol bas, let's she should take a vow that she's not going to eat meat. So that's a neder that's in a nefesh, means afflicting herself. So mefel he can nullify to her, but timuteris lechem kolod loim, and then she can be permitted to eat with anybody forever, even after he divorces her or if she's widowed from this husband. Now let's say also leha tashmish kolod mshabayim. Let's say she prohibits on herself intimacy with any man in the world. Now that's relevant for the husband because of dvarm shabayin noy lebeinah. So then, Yafrachelka, he's allowed to nullify his portion, v'tiyya misham shatoi, and then she's going to have intimacy with him. But he's going to die when he's going to divorce her. Harehi asur, b'tash mash kolad, and then she's going to be forbidden to have intimacy with any single person, because when the dvar mishabay noil b'na, then again, we said he can only nullify him for himself. The nullification does not work for other people. Anything that's like that, that's a division between these two types of nadarim that allows hafara for the husband. It has to be one of those two types, and they're different in regards to, is it for everyone, or is it just for him? Now, Alach HaDalad, Echad Inu Gadol, and now, this we say that it's Dvarim, that Inu LaNefesh, he's allowed to nullify, whether it's a big Inu, like not bathing, or not drinking, Vechad Inu Gadol, whether a small affliction, like not adorning, Vechad Inu Shul Lizman Merubay, Lefishah, now whether it's an Inu that's for a long period of time, or a small amount of time, Akol Mefer Abal, all types, the husband, whether it's Beinoy L'Beina, or it's because inu nefesh, whether it's a big thing or a small thing, for a limited time, for a long time, it doesn't make a difference. The husband has the ability to nullify. Halacha ekeitz at household. So let's say nadroi nishbush like tirchatsim. Let's say she took a vow or oath. She's not bathing today. Or she's tishta yayinim. She's not drinking wine today. Or she's not consuming honey today, which those are considered inu god. Let's say it's a significant affliction. And mechinin nadroi shle tirchalim. Let's say she vows she's just not putting on makeup today. Shle tibushrik ma'ayim. She's not putting on her woven, colorful garments, which these are things that are considered things that are between him and her. But again, whether they be small things, mefer he can nullify. Mechinin kriyat. Is anything like that? Again, if it fits into these two categories, he can nullify. Now, filin nadroi mimachal ran. Even if she took a vow prohibiting herself from something that's bad for herself, for her health, or from something she's never even tasted in her whole life. Doesn't make a difference. Harei Zayafer, he's allowed to go ahead and nullify it because sometimes it could happen that that's the only thing she happens to have in the cupboard at that time, and she's not going to be able to eat it and she's going to be in pain. So therefore, again, he could nullify. So it comes out that these two vows have some element of inyan l'nefesh, and therefore, again, no matter how small it might seem, he's allowed to nullify. Now, halacha above, let's say nadim shteika kares. Let's say he takes a vow for prohibiting himself from two loaves of bread. Ba'achas yesh le'inu, ba'achas in le'inu. Regarding one of them, there is afflicting to herself, but the other one not. For example, let's say one of them was refined bread, where if she doesn't eat it, it's going to bother her. It's called the inui. The other one is inferior breads, bran, where if she's not going to eat it, she's not going to have the inui. Or, let's say she only has two loaves of bread, but if she eats one, she's going to be satisfied, and the other one is not going to be inui if she doesn't eat it. So again, one is going to have inui and one not. So meifel azur shemisana, but he could only nullify the loaf of bread that she took a vow that there's affliction on. He's not allowed to nullify the one that does not have inui on that. And the reason for that is, and the chiddush in that is, unlike, as we said in the 8th parak, regarding a neder shehutu miktzasi, we say hutra kuloi, because by a chacham, he essentially goes and says that what you had said initially wasn't valid, because your intention was for the whole vow. If part of it was unfounded, then the whole thing is not. But here, hafara is not retroactive, it's from here and on. So whatever he's made for, he's made for. Whatever is not, because the second loaf does not have an element of inyan l'nefesh, then it retains its iser. Halacha vav, the Rambam continues regarding in the other category of nedarim shebeinoi lebeinah. Says the Rambam, nadra shleitoichel te'enu shel medina zo. Let's say she takes a vow, she's not going to eat the figs of this country. So, yafa mishum devarim shebeinoi lebeinah. He could nullify it because that affects their relationship. It's a big deal for him to have to go now import from another country these food items to bring it in. Because it doesn't qualify as inyan l'nefesh because she could eat peiros from another country, so it's not afflicting herself, but it's going to affect the relationship because he's going to have to go get it for her now. Now, l'fikach, therefore, since it's not inyan l'nefesh, it's only dvarim shebeinoi lebeinah. Oh, so in Mesa Gersha, so if he dies or he divorces her, or Shahivala Ish Achame Paris Medina, or some other man brings her these produce from some other country, they will be forbidden on her. Because he cannot nullify it as relates to other people when it's something that he's able to nullify because of how it affects their intimate relationship, as we explained in Aloha Beis. So therefore, actually, it would be prohibited in regards to other people. Let's say if she took a vow not to have pleasure from the people, from humanity. Now, although the husband is not included, which she definitely did not have in mind prohibiting herself from her husband, still yesh lelahafik and nullified, because it affects the relationship. How so? Because he doesn't want to have to give her to eat only from his own stuff. She can never get food from any neighbor, from any friend, any relative. So that affects the relationship. So that's called b'nei l'b'na. And v'chein masah nasal uma kula. So to, let's say she makes that she's forbidden to have benefit from a whole nation. K'gan kol Yehudim, like all the Jews, or kol Yishmim, all the Arabs. Again, harizi yafi can nullify it because again, it's going to affect the relationship and hence considered dvarim shebe'nei l'b'na. Halacha test Ram continues regarding vows that affect obligations that the couple has to each other. Ha'isha shem l'bal, if the woman says to her husband, ha'nas tashmishi asura lacha. The pleasure of my intimacy, to have intimacy with me, is forbidden on you. So in the Tzach, the husband does not even have to nullify it because she is meshubit to him for this pleasure. She has no right to make what's his forbidden on him. As Ram says, Holamaza Dima, what could this be compared to? La'oysa peris chaveroi al-bala peris. Someone who wants to, is making his friend's produce forbidden on the owner of the produce. Of course the nether doesn't take effect because he can't make something of someone else's forbidden on him. And so too, he'll be here where that's his rights that he has from her tashmish. She can't make that forbidden on him. So too, if let's say he tells her, "Hanos tashmish yesur alayich, the pleasure of my intimacy is forbidden on you." Lo makom, he hasn't said anything. Because he's indebted to her in three things, as the Torah tells us: bishair, with regards to food; ksus, clothing; va'ina, and marital intimacy. Like we explained the laws of marriage in the 12th parak halacha beis. So therefore, he obviously cannot make it forbidden on her because that's her rights, not his. But let's say if she tells him, "Hadnos tashmishcha suru alai, the pleasure of your intimacy is forbidden on me," then he has to nullify that. If he doesn't nullify it, then he would be forbidden to have relations with her. Why? He's not making hers forbidden on him because that she has no rights. But she's making his forbidden on her. And we don't feed to someone something that's forbidden to him, where she's now forbidden to have that pleasure, So although she's in Meshubatim, but now there's an Isser, and we therefore we can't feed that, can't give her his pleasure of intimacy to her, because she made it forbidden on herself. Halacha Yud. Amar, let's say she said, Yikdushu Yodai Lo Eisein. Let my hands be sanctified to the one who made the Min Takadosh Baruch Hu, where her intention is to say that all her hands and the handiwork are all belong to Hekdesh, and by default, obviously, it's forbidden for the husband to have benefit from it because she was Makdesh. Oisha Nadro, let's say she takes the vow Shle Yohana B'maisida, that he's not going to be able to have pleasure from my handiwork. So, Einanessa B'maisida, he does not become forbidden in her handiwork. Why? Because her hands, her handiwork, is already indebted to him, where whatever she makes is indebted to the husband. Now, and the Chiddush in this is, although the Gemara says, Hashichur, regarding freeing a slave, Vachametz, and when it becomes Pesach, and the Chametz is still there, and becomes Asr because of Chametz, Vahektish. So let's say somebody, a borrower, went and he had his ox that he made in Meshubit, he made it as collateral to the lender to collect from it. And then he took that ox and he was makdish to the mizbeach. It becomes kaddish, and then the lender is not going to be able to collect from it. He's going to have to collect from somewhere else. So, although we say generally these three things—freeing a slave or the chametz becoming, even though he has collateral that chametz to the non-Jew, but it's already pesach, it becomes forbidden. And when he makes something hektish, mafkina shibud, it removes it from the collateral, removes it from the shibud, from it being indebted. So you would say the same thing over here. That okay, but if she was makdish from ma'isi daim, then he should have no rights with his shibud. No, chacham also chizuk l'shibud habal. The sages strengthened the shibud that the husband has on his wife's handiwork, that she cannot remove it. And the reason why they strengthened the shibud midivrein, because this whole shibud that he has is rabbinic law, and the chacham actually strengthened their rabbinic law more than biblical law, which biblical law we don't need to strengthen so much. Rabbinic law, people would not necessarily treat it the same respect. They had to actually strengthen it even more to say that no, it's not going to be mafkir from his shibud. But he still has to nullify her vow. And the reason that is, because maybe he's going to divorce her, and then the nedz is going to take effect, because the moment that he divorces her, her handiwork's not meshubatim. And then, once it becomes forbidden on him, then it's going to be forbidden for him to remarry her, because now that her ma'aser dam is forbidden on him, he's not going to be able to be careful when he's going to marry her, that she's not going to grind, or not going to bake, or do some other work for him, which a wife has to do, and therefore you cannot go ahead and marry and put yourself in that type of situation, so therefore he has to nullify in case he's going to divorce her, then or else he won't be able to remarry her. Halacha Yidalf. Nishba ay nadra, let's say she takes an oath or a vow, shle yohanaba, that he cannot have pleasure from her. Who? Lo yavibala, she says, not her husband's father, her father-in-law. V'lo yechav u'shokroivav, not her brother-in-law, meaning his brothers or any relatives. So in yech lahavr, the husband has no rights to nullify such a vow. It's not inu nefesh v'ad, it doesn't bother her. She's good and pleased that her relatives from her husband's side are not getting from her. And additionally, it's not considered dvar m'shabit na'il b'na. It's not affecting directly the relationship between him and her. Let's say she took a vow that she's not giving water in front of his animals. So although actually, as Ram says, Nichas Isha's Perchavav, that she has to give straw in front of his animals, she doesn't have to give water, because generally the way they would water the animals was from the river or from the springs, and it's not the norm for women to have to go out of their house to such an area. So she does not have that obligation. And so too, if she says, I'm not going to give straw in front of your cattle, with that also she's not obligated, Ram says, during Nichas Isha. And the reason for that is because his animal is what he uses to ride on. So therefore, she has to give straw for that animal, like all other things she has to do for the body of her husband, which includes his chariot, includes his horse that he rides. But the cattle that are there for plowing, which is not for the body of the husband itself, that she does not have to give the straw for those animals. And similarly, for all these types of things, if she'im them in a nefesh, there's nothing that's afflicting herself. She's not eating or showering or whatever. It's not going to be bad for her. It's neither directly that it's a relationship thing between him and her, and which is the primary thing that we were just saying in the previous cases. Neither is it activity she has to do for the husband. So everybody's in your chalafer. So such type of nedarim, he has no rights to nullify. Again, that was the difference we said by the father. Father could do any type of nedarim. In contrast, the husband has to be one of these two categories. Now we continue to the next halacha Yud Beis, which discusses this ability of doing hafara. So yesh labavla of, like we said, the husband and the father, although they're a little bit different, they have the ability lahaf and the darim to nullify vows, and shadayin lechalu. And here we're saying a bigger chiddush that even if they didn't take effect, but in this moment she didn't become forbidden, still they can already do hafar kitzar also. Let's say she says hayayin asur lai, wine is forbidden on me. Im elich lemkoyim plon, if I go to that place. Hariz and Mefer, so the husband and the father could nullify it. Even though she didn't go yet, so it didn't become forbidden, anything like that, they could do it as long as the neder was already taken. Even though the isur didn't take effect yet, they could already go ahead and be Mefer. Now, halachid gimel, ha'avay baal she'ein shemen, the husband or the father who didn't hear because they're deaf. Now, not deaf, mute, they could speak, they have intelligence, just they can't hear. Ein mefirim, they cannot nullify a vow. Now, although the halach is that the husband can nullify vows, which he hasn't heard, but if you're able to hear, then hearing is not integral. But if you cannot hear, then the pasuk said, b'shama isha, her husband hears, which excludes the wife of a deaf person. So you don't have to actually hear, but you have to be able to hear. And therefore, if they can't hear, they cannot be made for. A mentally deranged person, he cannot nullify because he doesn't have intelligence, so his actions have no standing. And that's been ab ben bal, whether it's the father or the husband. Hakotn in leishes, and one could see we're talking about cheres shayte bekotn over here. A kotn in leishes. Now, a minor doesn't have marital relationships because he has to be an adult to get married, and the rabbis didn't make even rabbinic marriage. Lafikich in leishes, he cannot nullify, which would sound like that technically he could, but because I'm 12 years old, he already has the halachas and the darm, but he can't be made for simply because of the fact that he doesn't have marriage, which is limited to if he's the husband. Now, a husband can nullify the vows of his two wives simultaneously at the same time. So too, the father can nullify the vows of his two daughters in the same shot when he's nullifying. Halachat Hazvav, the Rambam continues regarding the set time for the ability to nullify. Hafaras nadarim kalayim, the ability to nullify the vow is the entire day when it was taken by the woman. And the inyan is leis, it's not a 24-hour period, kitza household. So nadar b'tchilas l'shein, let's say she took a vow in the beginning of Monday, which the night of Monday means Sunday night. Halachically, the day starts at nighttime. So the beginning of the night of Monday, which Sunday night, hari mefer oisa laila, so he can nullify that night, v'chol yom sheni, and the entire second day, meaning the entire Monday. Let's take the vow in the beginning of Monday, in the beginning of the day. Then you can nullify that whole day. Let's just take the vow at Monday, right by evening, as it's getting dark. So if he nullified before it didn't get dark, it's nullified. If he didn't nullify it and it already got dark, even though it's just an hour after that she took it, it cannot nullify anymore. You're limited to that day. Now, halacha design, so umau zesh akasabat, and what's this that's written in the term Bamidbar Lamed, miyoyim el yoyim, from day to day, which there would sound like a terminology that would be used in what's called 24-hour periods, from one day to another day, because it's 24-hour periods, but we're saying it's only for that day. That's malamed, that teaches shemefer balaylim, not balayla, can nullify it at nighttime if she had taken it at nighttime. Obviously not the next night, but if she had taken it at nighttime, because what we're teaching over here is, we're telling you that it's a full day, meaning even at nighttime. Not like the simple translation of the pasuk when it says b'yoyim shama, which would sound like at daytime, not at nighttime. No, it's saying that he could nullify at nighttime if she had taken it at nighttime. And mechem efa kol yom, so he can nullify the whole entire day. Come around like we explained in the previous halacha. Now let's say nadra b'shasa kama yom. Let's say she took a vow and she already has already gone by a few days. Then the achkach shama avay bal, and only a few days later do the father or the husband hear about this nadra. He can nullify the day he hears about it. And it's as if she took the neder at the time when he heard about it. It says in the pasuk, and the day that he hears about it, it's not only the day that she takes the vow. So when he hears about it, it's that day that he's limited to be able to be made for the neder. Regarding the betrothed maiden, that when she takes a vow, which her vow can only be nullified, as we explained in the previous parak, with the joint partnership of the chasan, the husband and the father, the father heard about it and he nullified. And now only a few days later did the chasen hear about it. And he also nullified the day that he heard about it. It's not going to be nullified. Says in the pasuk, if the father holds her back on the day that he hears about it, etc. And it says, now if she's going to be engaged to a man and she has vows on her, etc. And her husband hears about it on the day that he hears about it, etc. What that teaches is that after the father nullified it, and the chasen heard about it, he has to nullify it, the chasen, on the day that the father heard about it. I mean, the Rambam holds that when it says by the aris, whose shamay? His hearing means what we had previously mentioned, the father's hearing. So the chasen has to do it on the same day, not the day that he hears it, same day that the father hears it. So therefore, it's a few days later, too late. But then, same thing is in Shema Aris Vehefa, same thing is the reverse. Let's say the chasen heard about it and he nullified it. And then a few days later, the father hears about it and he nullifies the day that he hears about it. Shein Mufas, not going to be nullified. Now, how do we know the pasuk is talking about the betrothed maiden, and we're understanding that, oh, so it has to be that both of them are hearing on the same day, b'yom shamay. Maybe the pasuk is talking more and says, "Ba'am ha'yosila ish," is actually talking about a full-fledged married woman. No, because Shari Oymel Matik, it says later on, then base ish nadar b'goyim, that she can take a vow in her husband's household, etc. V'shamay isha ve'achor shla b'goyim, etc. That her husband can hear about a nimisant, etc. Which that pasuk is talking about a fully married woman, where it's only talking about the husband over there nullifying. And therefore, machlal, the inference is, she'isha amal amala, when it talks about her man earlier, which was right after the father, must be aris, not the married, because that's later on. Must be the man she's engaged to, like we explained, and therefore you see that you need to have both the chasen and the father nullifying in the same b'yom shamay, which is not on different days. Halacha yud ches. Shamay av oyaba. Let's say the father or the husband heard the neder of the woman, the shasak, and he was silent, but kedei letzar, just to bother her, just to pain her. I mean, like, she should think that, he's not going to, like, every time he jumps in and he saves her. He's, okay, you know what? This time you're going to have to suffer your neder. Now, although that was not his intention to substantiate the neder, he really wanted to nullify it. He doesn't want it, but he just wanted to learn her lesson. But what happened is he forgot. So once the day passes and he didn't nullify or didn't void it, so then her vow is substantiated, as the halacha in the Torah says, that if he's silent and ultimately he's not mefer, so then it's going to be a valid neder. Now, the Rambam continues regarding if a woman violates a neder that was nullified. Let's say nadra, let's say she takes a vow. And the husband or the father nullifies the vow. She doesn't know that they nullified it. And they don't have to let her know. Now she doesn't know, and she thinks she has a vow or an oath, and she deliberately violates it. So she's actually exempt from lashes. Now, although her intention was, she thought it's us and she's intending to violate it, but once it was permitted by the father of the husband, so she's exempt, because ultimately she didn't violate the Isser. But the pasuk says, Hashem yislachla, Hashem should forgive her, because her father went and held her back, meaning what's coming to tell us is that she needs slicha, because although the father was mefred, but she thought that it was Isser. And we give her rabbinic lash from the Nishan Lissa, because ultimately she did intend to do something prohibited. Halacha Yud Tes, Nadra, let's say she takes a vow. And she actually violated the vow before the father or the husband nullified it. So though the husband heard about it on that same day and he nullified it, which is a valid nullification, she's going to actually be liable for the neder that she violated. And the reason for that is because the afar of the husband does not retroactively uproot it from its inception, rather permits it from here on, unlike that of the hataras nedarim of the chacham. So it comes out, whatever she did up until he actually was mefer, she was actually a violation of the isser. So in malchus, so if it's a liability of lashes, let's say she violated her neder, which you get lashes because of leyachad the bar, like the Rambam said in Perek Aleph. So then malchus, you get lashes. Vim carbon, and if it's a liability of a carbon, let's say she took a shvuz bitoy, which she said, I swear I'm not going to eat from that type of thing, and she ate it, which that's a liability of a carbon, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Shvuz Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel. So then carbon should be liable for a carbon, although the hafar will take effect, but that's going to be after she had already violated. Halacha Chav, the Rambam continues regarding what happens if there was lacking data when he made his hafara, and also what happens if the hafara was in mistake. As Ram says, Shaman Nidra Vashasak. Let's say the husband heard her vow, but he was silent. Now, not because he wanted to substantiate, he didn't know this halacha, that the father or the husband has this ability to nullify. Or he knew that he has to go ahead and nullify it. But he didn't know that this vow needs hafara, that it's a bona fide neder which requires his nullification. Well, Achaz Manyada later on, he's in Parshas Matus, and he's learning the halachas, and he finds that, whoa, he realizes what the halacha is. Hariza Yafra, then at that point he could nullify. And when he finds out about it, that moment of revelation is like the moment she takes the vow, or the moment he hears about it. And that day of awareness, is that whole day is when he could go ahead and nullify. Now, Halacha Aleph, let's say Nadri Ishtar. Let's say his wife takes a vow. He didn't realize who it was. He thought it was his daughter who took the vow. Now he's saying, I'm nullifying that vow, but he's having in mind that it should be for his daughter. And let's say she took a vow that she's going to be a Nazira. He thought, he flipped that she took a vow that she's bringing a carbon. And what he's nullifying is to nullify her vow that she took to bring a carbon. Or let's say, Asa Asma Bita'inim. Let's say she took a vow prohibiting herself from figs. He thought that she made herself forbidden in grapes. And he went and he nullifies a vow that he thought that she's making herself prohibited for grapes. So he has to subsequently go back and nullify. When he finds out the variables of who's the one that really took the vow and what the actual vow was. Now, l'shem ha-nederes ha-zois, meaning it has to be for this woman who took the vow, meaning the mother or the daughter, and for this vow, whether it be for the grapes or the figs. Shanim, because like it says in the pasuk, Loheini oisa, he has not held her back, which means to say, which is his ability to do hafara, meaning oisa is l'nederes atzma, has to be for that woman who took the vow, whether it be his wife or his daughter. And by the pasuk also says, v'shama vi es nidra, her father heard her vow, which means atshiyede ezened nadra, until he knows the vow that she took. And v'yesh l'hafar oisa kol yamidia, as we said in the previous halacha, he could, when he finally finds out what really was, he could nullify that entire day of when he becomes aware of what actually happened.